Well, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Is that right?
Amen.
Praise God. It's a good time to be alive. Good time to be in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. You know, during the history of God's people, as we have it in the Word of God, any time it seemed like there was great persecution, which sometimes, you know, we look around and it's not popular according to the world to be a Christian today. It's not popular in some circles, you know, in some institutes of higher learning to act like you've got faith in God. But anytime you've seen that, you've always seen following that a great outpouring and move of God. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I'm just ready. Let's just have one more great outpouring and let's get this thing done. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's just jump in and get involved with what God is involved with. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you would turn over to Luke chapter 1 tonight. I want to welcome all those that are watching on Rhema.tv or on the Rhema app. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. Hopefully grab your Bible there or your device. We want to look at some few verses tonight. And, you know, part of the story of the birth of Jesus is the birth of Jesus' cousin, John. And Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, the two mothers. And here, after Mary had gone back, as she stayed there about 6 months, we're told, had gone back to Nazareth, Elizabeth's time came that she gave birth to her son. And they asked Elizabeth, what's the child's name? And she said, John. And they said, John? Not anyone in your family named John. Yeah. And so they asked the father, Zacharias. Now, remember, he had had a little, I guess, disagreement with an angel as he was performing his priestly duties and didn't know to say the right thing. And so the angel said, let's just keep you quiet until this is done. And so he wrote out, he says, his name is John. And as soon as he said that, then his mouth was opened, and he began to prophesy. Look here in Luke chapter 1, verse 67. I'm just going to read down here for a few verses. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, just a note, you ought not prophesy if you're not full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, don't be full of yourself. Anyway, that's just another story, another line there, but just a thought. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. Now, let's stop there for just a moment. Up until this point here, he's talking about the Lord God of Israel, how he is blessed and visited and redeemed his people. Now, up until this time, his people was just Israel. And those that had been, those proselytes maybe that had been grafted into the vine, you know, and come into the faith in Jehovah God. All right? But we know, in looking at this back from our perspective and where we are now, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And so while this applies to natural Israel, it applies to us today, what he's saying here. And I want to pick up here in verse 74 and 75, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies. How many of you know we're delivered tonight?
Amen.
Delivered from the hand. Who's our enemy? The devil. All we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? But we wrestle against the devil. Now, he's a defeated foe, and we're delivered out of his hand. All right? That we who are delivered, everybody that's delivered, say amen.
Yes.
So it's talking about you, talking about me, that we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So let's make this statement. We have been delivered from the power and from the hand of our enemy, the devil, that we might serve God. Now, you know, you hear a whole lot, and over the years, and we need to be taught, and we need to understand positionally who we are in Christ. Without that foundation, without that knowledge of who you are in Christ and what God has done for us in Christ, it would be impossible to live a victorious life. Amen. But we can't stop there. And I'm maybe you don't deal with as many Christians in your job as I do, and as different doctrines in your job as I do, and different belief systems in your jobs maybe as I do, and some of us do here with our responsibilities here at Rhema, not just the church, but in the school. You hear all kinds of things, you know. And I used to hear others say, especially Brother Hagin, Pastor Hagin's dad, that if you live long enough, you'll see things come around again. Well, I'm in that category now of having lived long enough to see certain things come around. And one of the things that comes around, is that when we get stuck positionally, and that's all we talk about is our position. If your position is not producing fruit, then you're wasting your position. Amen? If our position in Christ is not compelling us, it's not motivating us, it's not energizing us, it's not empowering us to serve Him, then we are wasting our position while we're here on the earth. Now, but your position in Christ is going to get you into heaven. Now, thank God for that. But I'm not there yet. And my position in Christ, listen to this. My position in Christ, me personally, just because I'm in Christ, is not going to win one other person to the Lord. Just because I'm positionally in Christ. Unless I take that position and serve Him. Now, see, He said, serve Him without fear. Why? We're not fearing whether or not we're going to heaven. Because we're in Christ. So much of what we're, what about, can you lose your salvation? Why even talk about it? Do you want to lose it? Come on now. I really have never met a Christian that wanted to lose their salvation. Really? I mean, seriously. Amen. I mean, I've met some folks that, you know, they get disgruntled and get hurt and bitter. And say they don't believe things anymore. But they still believe it. Because that's all they can talk about. How it's not true. Why are you talking about it all the time? All right? But notice this here. That we might serve Him without fear. Now, we're not to be afraid of God, are we? And we should not be afraid of our eternity. Because why? We're in Him. Through the new birth. We've been born again. Glory to God. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We've accepted Him. But the lack of action then, acting on that position, I believe puts us exactly where the enemy would like to bring us back. And you realize this? You could be born again, delivered from the hand of the enemy, a child of God, on your way to heaven, and spend your life on this earth in bondage to that very devil you've been delivered from. Now, here's what I've seen come around through different things, and it's packaged different, but the ultimate goal is the same, and that's to get the child of God who has authority over the devil to never, ever operate in that authority and to never act on the Word of God, just to get us passive. Yes, passive, yes. I call it living. Now, some of you that aren't old enough, maybe you don't, I'm sorry, but I call it living a Doris Day Christianity. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. Just sitting back, Well, whatever happens in life, that's God's will for me. God's in control of my life. He just, whatever. You know, the Bible does not say that, especially the New Testament. Okay? And so, I want to look at this a little bit. Serve him without fear. Praise the Lord. I'm not afraid. See, again, we're not coming from a standpoint of whether or not we're afraid, we're not acceptable with God, that we're not his child, that we're not going to heaven. We're taking that out of the equation. We're serving him without fear. Because that doesn't come through what I've done. That comes through faith in what grace has already done. Right? When I receive by faith or through faith what grace has already provided. Right? Who did the work? Jesus did the work. What's my part? Receive it through faith. That's already taken care of. Let's talk about this other aspect here of serving him without fear in, what's he say? Holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now some would say, now wait a minute, we are holy. I am holy. I would agree with that as far as you want to talk about your spirit. But I'll guarantee you, when you got born again, you weren't holy in your thinking or probably in your actions. It might have caused a change. But we have to renew our mind and present our bodies. See, now here's the great thing. Jesus just didn't come to do something about our spiritual condition, even though he did it about our spiritual condition, because that feeds everything. But he came to deliver a spirit, soul, and body. And the deliverance of our soul and our body comes as we serve him in holiness and righteousness. We are holy, and we know from the word of God that we are righteous. Glory to God. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Amen? Amen. We are not righteous in and of ourselves. We're righteous in him. But holiness and righteousness are not just positions in Christ. They are lifestyles. They are active. It's not just our position. It's our production. Holiness in my spirit should produce holiness in my living. Righteousness in my spirit and my right standing with God, being in that right place with God, should produce righteousness in my living. Amen. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 6. We'll begin with verse 1 and just kind of read down through this and see what the Lord would say to us through this. Amen. I wanted to jump to the end there, and I don't want to jump to the end without going through the beginning of this. Now, the book of Romans in chapters 3 through 5 Paul has laid out by the Spirit of God this gospel of righteousness through faith. Not of the works, lest any man should boast, but righteousness through faith. Amen. And then when sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And then he gets to, and if you teach the love of God and having faith in the love of God, and you teach the grace of God the way it's probably supposed to be taught and preached, every once in a while you got to stop and say, now I know what you're saying. Does that mean we can just go ahead and sin and it's all right? Because that's what happens here. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Amen. You see, what? Holiness that doesn't in my spirit, that doesn't produce holiness in my thought life and in my actions, is not true holiness. In other words, it's not complete holiness, put it that way. Oh yeah, in my spirit, you see, holiness, it's where we get the word a saint. Now, if you're a Christian, you're a saint. I used to think a saint was somebody who lived so long ago, no one could remember anything they'd ever did wrong. So let's call them, we'll name them a saint. And I knew about St. Matthew and St. Mark, right? St. Luke, I knew about them. But then I get in the Word of God, and the Bible calls us saints. It really means set apart for divine purpose. holy, set apart, sanctified. Amen. Any of you folks got any sanctified money in your wallet or your purse right now? And Lord, you've got it set aside. Okay? It may not be for divine purpose, but it's set aside for whatever purpose you set it aside for. Amen. All right. He said, see, so he says, verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now here when he talks about death throughout this chapter, he doesn't talk about ceasing to exist. He's talking about death as a separation from. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I became separated from sin. God separated me from sin. In fact, did away with the old sin nature. He says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Baptized means fully immersed. Therefore, as we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, Zechariah prophesied by the Spirit of God, full of the Holy Ghost, that we would serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. Do you see here that there's a lifestyle change that takes place when you come in contact with the saving God through Jesus Christ and being delivered from the power of the enemy? Here he said, we were buried with him, and just as he rose from that, we should be walking in what? Newness of life. Keep reading. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, how many of you know Jesus rose spirit, soul, and body, didn't he? Now, right now, all of us in this room, if you're born again, you're spiritually resurrected, if you want to look at it that way. You're born again. You've got life. But there's coming a day when every part of us is going to be resurrected. Right? For those who have gone ahead already and their bodies are here on this earth, when that trumpet sounds, those that are dead in Christ shall rise first to meet him in the air. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Hallelujah. He goes on here to say, knowing this, that our old man, now he's talking about not your body, he's talking about your old nature, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Why? Because we've been separated from him. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. Oh, glory to God. If it doesn't have any dominion over him, it doesn't have any dominion over you. Hallelujah. It is the last enemy that will be put underfoot. But it will be put underfoot. Amen. Under the feet of Jesus. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Likewise. Now see, all that would be great if we're just talking about Jesus. But uh-oh, he disconnected us. He likewised us. I don't know if you can say that, likewised. He just likewised us. Likewise, in other words, just like that, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, notice what it says there, that Christ was raised from the dead and dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. And that since he's dead, he's freed from sin. He never sinned anyway, but you understand what he's saying. If we're dead with Christ, we should live with him. And so now he tells us that we are dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it and its lusts thereof. Now, he's going to start talking about how to do that. Neither yield. I heard Keith Moore say years ago, we need to work on our yielder. neither yield. How are we going to serve him without fear? How are we going to serve him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life? By yielding to him, not these others. Now look what he says here. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What's your members? He's talking about your body. It could also be talking here about your mind, though. Your emotions. Everything that it makes you that makes us up, we are to yield ourselves to God. Well, how do you yield? You obey. To yield is to obey God. All right. Notice that he says, as instruments of righteousness unto God. So, oh, wait a minute. That's what we read that Zechariah prophesied. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Glory to God. See, that's what did away with the fear. The grace of God. We can serve him without fear. How do we serve him? Yield ourselves. Now you say, yield yourselves to God. How do I do that? Well, what does God say in his word? Do those things. I'm talking about in the New Testament. What's the number one thing that God really tells us concerning others to do? Love others, right? We have to learn how to yield to the love of God. Think about the fruit of the Spirit. It's in us. It's in our spirit, man. It's on the inside of us. We have to learn how to yield to love, joy. You know, you had some opportunities to not have joy? You've got to yield to it. Peace. All the fruit of the Spirit. We have to learn how to yield to those things. Let those things come to the forefront. I think about 1 John 4. Is it 4? 1 John 4, 4. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Where did that fruit come from? Did it come from the Holy Spirit? Yeah. The Holy Spirit in us gives us the fruit of the Spirit. We're born again by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, and by the Spirit of God. And that fruit's in there by him. So there's just sometimes, you know, I'll just stop and say, wait, greater is the joy that's in me than the depression that's in the world. I'll just make it specific. I don't know how you have to do it, but that's how I have to do it. And there's a lot of times I have to say, greater is the love that's in me than the hatred that's in the world. If you spend a lot of time on Facebook, you have to say that one all the time. Greater is the love that's in me. And that's when you delete what you just wrote. Don't hit send. Let's keep reading here. What shall we sin? He stops again. He mentions grace and he has to stop again. What then shall we sin? Because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. See, Zechariah prophesied that God was going to deliver us from the hand of our enemy and that we were going to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. And then we find out, not in the Gospels, but it's hinted of there when you look back at it, but through the writing of the Apostle Paul especially, that the way God did that was through his grace. But he didn't give us his grace for any other reason than that we could serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. Now let me say this to you. You're not serving God in unrighteousness and an unholy life. There's no way to serve God without holiness and righteousness. Now, what I'm finding out so many folks do, and probably we all probably do this in some areas, and we have to, is we try to compartmentalize our life. Well, here's my going to church life. And here's my hanging around other Christians life. But then here's my life at work. And then here's my social life. I remember a long time ago, I heard a guy standing in front of a group of teenagers in a high school Bible class in a denominational church that I grew up in say, there's certain rooms in my house that I don't let God in. Jesus didn't shed his blood so you could keep him out of rooms in your house. He saved us first because he loves you. That's why, that's the main reason he did it. But he left us here because everyone has to find out God loves them. How are they going to know unless we tell them? And how are they going to be able to believe it unless we come to them in holiness and righteousness? Can I tell you this? The world is not looking for somebody that looks and smells and talks like them to tell them about Jesus. Now, I'm all for being relevant. I taught a class here for many years called Preaching with Relevance. And I understand it. But if your relevance makes you so worldly that we can't hear your message, then we've got a problem.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But then again, what's holiness and righteousness? Is it how long your hair is? I know a fellow that wears long dreadlocks, about one of the holiest people I've ever met in my life. Oh, he just drips with it. He drips with holiness. You're just around him and you feel the presence of God. Does it have to do with how long your hair is? No. Amen. Let's keep reading here. Know ye not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? See, how to yielding means to obey. His servants are you to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. Now he's talking to Christians here. Do you realize it's possible for a Christian to be a servant to sin unto death when they're the righteousness of God in Christ? Why? Their yielders messed up. Now, we don't want any testimonies, but we could all probably raise our hand in here and give testimony of a time that our yielder messed up, right? We yielded to the wrong thing. Thank God, God's merciful. Amen. Now listen, if you ever miss it yielding to the wrong thing, don't run from God, run to him. He loves you. All right? If Jesus died for you when you were a rank sinner, you think he shut off his mercy and love for you now when you make a mistake? No. Verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Everybody say, I'm not a servant of sin. See, you notice that's past tense? You were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, hallelujah, you became the servants of righteousness.
Amen.
What does Zechariah say? That we may serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. All right, you ready? Look at this. I speak after the manner of men. Because of the infirmity of our flesh, or the weakness of our flesh, for as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Now, are you becoming right with God through yielding yourself to righteousness? No, you're doing acts of righteousness. You're not becoming righteous. That came through faith in what Jesus did. But there are righteous living. There is righteous living. There is holy living that we need. If we're going to call ourselves the servants of God, we should be living righteous. We should be living holy. Amen. You know, I wonder sometimes people, we want to get back to the Bible. Well, they had such a holiness and a righteousness about them that when somebody came in and lied to the Holy Ghost, they fell over dead. Yeah, you want to go back to the Bible. Amen. But see, that's what we've been given this, not just man, but we've got the ability to do this. And that's the grace of God. Look at verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, here again he says it, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. So that's what we're talking about here. This holiness and this righteousness that God has made us and positioned us in, there is fruit of that. Dear friend of a man, and I were meeting with him the other night, and he just said it kind of joking. He said, I heard somebody say this, but he kind of said it, and when he said it, it just went off. It was a spiritual thing. He said, get out there on the limb. That's where the fruit is. Get out there in a holy lifestyle. Get out there in a righteous life. That's where the fruit is. Amen. I'm not talking about putting on your church face and coming to church and acting all holy and acting all righteous. I'm talking about living that way and keeping yourself clean. How do you keep yourself clean? When you know you're not on purpose doing it, but when you know you made a mistake, you go to God. And I don't care who says 1 John 1:9 is not written to the Christian. If it's not written to the Christian, it shouldn't be in the New Testament. It should be in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. And you read in context there the whole way through, John includes himself. He says we and us. So he's saying we, including himself, if John, the apostle, the saint, said if we sin, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of what? All unrighteousness. Not of your unrighteous act. You committed an act of unrighteousness. You need cleansing from that. Why? Because that has everything to do with how we're living now. And it will cause death now. Because, look what he says here, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we could sum this up by saying, are we living in the reality, not just the legality, but the reality of holiness and righteousness? And are we living in the reality of the gift of God, which is what? Eternal life. I'm not just talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about having the eternal life now on this earth. Now on this earth. I asked your brother Hagin, say, give God your best and he'll give you his best. And I know people, well, wait a minute, brother, that's works. No, he was exactly right in saying that. Because what we do on this earth affects what we receive on this earth. Again, we took going to heaven out of the equation, right? Because we're born again. I'm talking about people that love God, want to serve God, want to be, you know, involved in what God's doing. We took that out because that fear, we should be free from that fear. I don't ever think about whether or not I'm going to heaven. You know what I'm saying? And if the devil says, you know, you're not going to heaven, I'd laugh. Because that's so foreign to my thinking, because I've been delivered from that fear, because I know I'm born again. I know I'm a child of God. But I want to serve him in the way which is in holiness and in righteousness. That's why there's certain things I'm not going to do. There's things I'm not going to say. Maybe there's places we can't go. Maybe there's places you can't. I don't know. However, you decide, according to the word of God, holiness and righteousness. Now, some things are self-evident. You can't blatantly disobey God's word and think that's holy at all. Right? Amen. And anybody I've ever heard argue on this earth, all they want, all they're saying is, I need to make an excuse for my flesh. And so what I want to say here is that I believe that it's okay with God that I go ahead and do this, you know, because it really doesn't affect him. It just affects me, and it doesn't affect my eternity. So I'm just going to go ahead and do this. But what you did by that, if you're not careful, you might be the reason someone goes to hell. And don't think it doesn't happen. Okay. Now I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about people just get offended because they don't like you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I know here several years ago I did a funeral for someone, young person, had gotten involved in some things and just basically they killed their body by what they put in their body. And this young girl had lived across the street from now I'm not saying this young girl went to hell, okay, because I don't know what, the person was never awake when I was there. You understand what I mean? But they lived across the street. I got talking to the mother and lived across the street from somebody I knew that was raised in a Pentecostal church and, you know, different things of that sort. And a statement was made and, you know, I said, well, where did you live in that talk? I said, did you know so-and-so? Yeah. It kind of got, okay, kind of got that answer like, oh, I stepped in it now. Here, I'm going to get dead. I said, yeah, my daughter loved her. And she told her that, you know, when she was growing up, she did these things, you know, and hid them from her parents. It's okay. You're young. You can do things. And so I'm standing there with the family standing around when a person's unhooked from life support. And I'm thinking, God, I don't ever want to cause anyone to be in that position by anything that I would do or say. You know, Paul believed this so much that he said, I would give up my own salvation if Israel would be saved. If my people, I said, I'd give my up. He wasn't saying, I don't care about them. I wanna go do these things. I'll bless them. I wanna have some fun. He was more concerned about the other person's eternity than he was his own. It's a pretty heavy message for around Christmas time. But Zechariah prophesied that through Jesus, amen, we would serve God, delivered from the hand of our enemy, that we might serve God without fear. No, I'm talking about, oh, it's a free life. It's a wonderful life. But you're not free if you're bound by sin. You're not free if you got things in your life that are holding you in bondage. And if it doesn't contribute to holiness and righteousness, it's bondage. Holiness and righteousness is free. That's free living. Amen? That's living free. Glory to God. In holiness and righteousness. See, it's not just position. It's not just legally I'm saved. What about the reality? Are you living it in reality, in holiness and righteousness? Father, we thank you tonight. Father, I believe we've given out what it is you asked me to give out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But no one's looking around but me. And I'm just doing it just to be a witness before God. But if tonight you'd like to go on record before God and say, Lord, I see some things. I see something. And this is keeping me from holiness. This is living holy. This is keeping me from living righteously. Again, no, we're not talking about the fear. We'll talk about if you're not born again. We'll talk about that in a moment. But you just like to go on record, and all I'm going to ask you to do is just lift a hand up, wave it up high, and then just put it right back down. Just right now, everywhere. You have to see hands all over. That's all right. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. You saw these hands. Holy Spirit, teacher and guide, leader into all the truth. Holy, Holy Spirit, help us. Help these. Help all of us, though. We yield ourselves to you, mighty God, as instruments of holiness, of righteousness unto holiness. We yield our members. We dedicate and consecrate, Father, ourselves. Father, I thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. For by your grace, we're saved through faith. That not of ourselves. It is your gift to us through what Jesus Christ has done. We thank you for it. Now, the Bible says that if we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he is alive. If he didn't raise him, then we're not free from our sin. We're still in our sin, but he's alive today. He's risen from the dead. And if you'll confess with your mouth the lordship of over your life, that Jesus is your Lord, that you would be saved. If you're here tonight and you have never made a decision for Christ, you've never made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you wave your hand at me? I want to pray with you. Ushers, you can help me here. Look around here. We don't want to assume anything. Hallelujah. Don't see any hands. Ask your neighbor right now. You know Jesus? Just ask him. Ask him. Don't assume. Just ask him. Well, I've been married to this guy for 50 years. We got one hand right over here. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would that person that raised their hand, would you be so bold to come down here and let me pray with you? Would you be so bold to do that? The Bible says if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. Not to embarrass you, just come on down here. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't take anything for granted. Don't want to assume anything, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on down here, sweetheart. One of our ladies from the prayer team, come on down here too, if you would. Come right over here. Amen. You want to come with the praise of the Lord? Just stand right here. Stand right here. Hallelujah. Yes, you want. You can come stand with her too if you want. Amen. That's awesome. Hallelujah. I'm going to lead you in a short prayer here, okay? Then I want you to go with these ladies. They can talk to you, make sure, get exactly what you came up here for, okay? If you would, congregation, would you say this with me too? Would just say this out of your mouth, okay? Let's all lift one hand toward heaven. That's where help comes from. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is alive. He paid the debt for my sin. He died in my behalf. But you raised him from the dead. And I now give my life to him. I declare that Jesus is my Lord. And I am a child of God. And I can now serve you without fear, in holiness and righteousness, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ladies, why don't you go ahead and take her with you if you will. Just take her, give her some information. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give her, yeah, go ahead. Clap. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.